Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
Have your Bibles turned to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to be in two portions of Scripture, Genesis 3, and we're going to be in Malachi 3. We're still in our series, Free Indeed, and I want to talk to you this morning about the first open door. We've been talking about open doors into our lives and how the enemy will come in. We've been in a spiritual warfare series and how Jesus doesn't want you just free, but he wants you free indeed. And, you know, sometimes there's a lot of folks who live kind of free, but we are not truly, deeply free indeed. And that's what Jesus says. You shall know the truth and the truth will make you free indeed. And that's what our goal is. That's what our desire is. So we've been in this series called Free Indeed. And I have loved watching what God has been doing in your hearts and in your lives, both at the altars. I get emails to me of folks saying, this is what God is doing in my heart. Those things bless me. I get excited about those things because I love to hear when God is moving in your heart. I love to hear when you send me something and you say, this is what God told me this week and this is what I'm doing about it. Those things encourage pastors. I thought they'd all gone stone. Ted goes to sleep, not the whole congregation. I don't. No, where's Ted? Well, he's late. Somebody wake him up and let him know I'm talking about him. No, Ted's my friend, man. I love it. But so we've been talking about the doors that we open to the enemy and we allow him to enter into our lives. And the thing is this, when the enemy comes in to open doors in our lives, there's only three things he knows how to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. He never comes in and just moves furniture. He never comes in and says, you know what? I just don't really feel like being bad today. And it's just all that he knows how to do is to try to steal from you, try to kill things in you, and try to destroy you. That's all he knows how to do. And he's relentless at it. He never stops. He never takes a day off. How many of you love vacation days? One, two, three. Anyone from my office, put your hand down. Listen, the enemy takes no vacation. You woke up this morning and he hates you. And he wants to steal from you. He wants to kill the things of God in you. He wants to kill your dreams, your hopes, your goals. He wants to kill everything in you that you have worked so hard to obtain and to have and to give and bring together and give God glory for. He wants to see it destroyed because that's all that he knows how to do. He doesn't know how to do anything else. That's all that he is, and that's all that he does. And no one, we've talked about no one in their right mind would, I have to qualify in their right mind, would be home this afternoon. What time do the Skins play? I don't even know. Next Sunday? They have a bye week? I don't know. I'm just thinking this is exciting because the Skins won't lose today. That's what I'm excited about. That they're not going to lose today. I don't know, man. They need prayer. We need to pray for them. That's what we need to do. It was all right. It was all right. But the thing is, no one's going to go home today, sit down in their recliner, watch a game, and hear a knock on your door, and you look through the peephole, and you see three guys standing there with ski masks on, holding guns and knives and crowbars and open the door and then go sit back down. That's ridiculous. No one is consciously going to do that. No one in their right mind would do that because you know there's a danger that the enemy may come in. And when the enemy comes in, he's not coming in just to make sure you're doing okay. He's not coming in to see if you need more wings from the kitchen. He's coming in to steal, kill, or destroy. That's all that he does. And none of us in our right mind would go in and sit down and not think that they aren't going to come in and try to rob us. So the enemy will enter into our lives through open doors that we leave open and available to him. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about pride as an open door in our lives. And I've always been one that says, I think pride is the foundation of every sin. That I think when it comes down to us saying, but I know better than God in this situation, and we choose our own way, there's a spirit of pride at work in us. And pride, when you stop and you look back through Scripture, was the first door that was opened. Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven. He looked and he said, I don't want to be the number two guy. I want to be God. And pride entered into his heart, and there was a rebellion in heaven. And how many know God whooped butt? threw him from heaven, and he went on out. So here's the thing. That was the first door that Lucifer opened, the enemy opened. What was the first door opened by Adam and Eve? Well, I'm glad you don't know, because that's what we're going to talk about today. The first door opened in the lives, by the lives of Adam and Eve this morning, and it's an amazing door, and it's an important door for us as believers to understand, for us as believers to know so that we may guard our hearts against leaving this door open. Now, 1 John 2:16 says this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," talks about three doorways here, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, I believe that these are the three major doors that the enemy comes in through into our lives. Now, we've talked about pride, and we're going to talk about the lust of the eyes today. And next time we're together, not this coming Sunday, because we have a guest speaker, Pastor Frank, I want you all to come, bring your friends. It's going to be excellent. But the following Sunday, I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about lust of the flesh, and we're going to address these three doors. All right, so we've talked about pride, and I've told you what I feel about pride. And when you break it down, you see that really pride is really self-focus. Whether you think you're better than anybody else or whether you think you're the worst that has ever lived and you're horrible and you're nothing, it's still self-focus, and pride is self-focus on us. Okay, are you with me? All right, we have to understand these things. And I've told you so often in churches, we're so proud that we're not proud. You know, I don't wrestle with pride. Thank you, Jesus. I'm better than most. You know, well, you see, that's pride, though. And it always seems to be right there. And so when we broke it down, though, we saw that it's kind of trusting in your own strength, trusting in your own wisdom, and trusting in your own righteousness. And we can begin to see how pride can slip into all of our lives if it is not guarded, if it is not watched, if it is not kept at a distance. It can slip into our spirits. And so in the same way, I want to show you how the lust of the eyes manifests in our eyes. Look at your neighbor and say, lust of the eyes. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to touch on tithing. We're going to talk a little bit about tithing. So my first point is simply this. The ways that the lust of the eyes manifests in our lives is in this, in greed. Look at your other neighbor and say, greed. All right. Genesis chapter 3:1-6. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Now I want you to notice something. The first thing that the enemy does is he comes in and in the relationship with Adam and Eve and God, and the enemy enters into this. The very first things he does is he tries to get her to question the word of God. God had been very clear about what they could eat and what they could not eat. God said, "You can have any tree in the garden, anywhere in the garden, except this one tree. This one tree is mine. Stay away from it. It is my tree. You can have everything else, but you cannot have this one." And the very first thing the enemy does is he shows up and says, "Did God really say?" He tries to bring some question. He tries to cast a little doubt on the word of God. And this is her response. "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" So the enemy goes from questioning the word to kind of casting doubt on what God says. And then the very next step he takes is he's going directly contrary to what the word of God says. How many know that spirit is still at work in the world today? And I'm going to tell you something. It hits churches all over the place. When we have focused more on being politically correct than we have the cross of Calvary, something's wrong. We have got to stand on the word of God, in the word of God. What God's word says, God's word says. I don't care what politicians tell you. God's word stands alone, and our lives are to be shaped by this so that we might live lives that honor him and bring him praise and bring him glory that we sang about earlier. Okay, you've got to understand. He speaks directly contrary to the word of God. Now, here's where we're going to start tying this thing together. We're going to be talking about tithing a little bit today. It's been a while since I've preached on tithing. We're going to talk about this. You say, "Pastor, I thought you were talking about spiritual warfare." I am.
I am. And we have to discuss finances in the realm of spiritual warfare because there is a battle over who you will bless today. And so we're going to get into this. It is amazing how clear scripture can be about tithing and how when we fail to handle our financial blessings, the blessings of God to our lives in a godly way, that we open up our lives to things. And these things can become doorways that the enemy will slip in and try to steal, kill, and destroy you because of the way we handle the blessings of God in our life. And it's amazing how we would convince ourselves that tithing is not a necessary thing. That tithing isn't, I've heard it said tithing is optional because it's not really in the New Testament. Well, we're going to look at that. Have y'all ever heard someone say it's not for today? Isn't that amazing? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you in Scripture where it is, how it is, and we're going to get into it, okay? Verse 5, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. We're still in Genesis 3, verse 6 now. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Now listen, Satan's strategy is always to get you to question or to doubt the word of God. And one of the ways that he does that in the life of the believer is he tries to get you to ask yourself this question. Is it for today? We live in a world that is so driven to be politically correct. Now I'm all for being politically, you know, let's be kind, let's be loving, let's be all sorts of things. But something that God speaks to, God speaks to. And while we may choose the way we say it, we cannot change the intention of what God said. If God says something is right, how many of you know it's right? And if God says something is wrong, how many of you know it's wrong? And see, we have to get back to living that and understanding that and knowing that. See, the enemy is like a salesman who just wants to keep you talking because the more he can talk to you and the more you'll talk with him, the more the higher the odds are you're going to end up buying something. You ever been in one of those things? I mean, it's just, you drop, oh, I'm not interested in buying one. Oh, they're talking, all of a sudden, you know, you're carrying something to the car. Looking at my wife going, we don't even need this. Why did we do? I don't know. I thought it was you. You know, if they could keep you talking, they can wear you down. All of a sudden, they start making sense. All of a sudden, it's like, you know what? You're right. I do need this. And you know, that's why I don't stay up late and watch TV because I end up calling the phone and I order the ab roller. I'm like, Steph, our lives will never be the same. She's, you're an idiot, aren't you? You know, and it's an amazing thing. And the Lord, he just keeps you talking and keeps you talking. Well, scripture says this, that the tree was pleasant to the eyes. Now, I don't want you to think that God in the garden created all of these hideous, ugly trees and then made one beautiful tree right in the middle and that said, you can have all the ugly stuff, but the pretty one is mine. Is that what our God would do? Let me show you what scripture says. Genesis 2:9, out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Every tree there was amazing. Every tree in the garden was beautiful. Every tree in the garden was pleasant to see. It was good for food. They could live off it. They could be sustained by it. They could keep it. All the trees that God had created were pleasant to the sight. But Satan convinced Eve that there was something different about this particular tree. And it says that it was pleasant. Now, pleasant, as you get back into the words and you start breaking these things down, pleasant can actually be translated into greed. There's other places in scripture that they use the word greed, lust, or desirable. All interchangeable. And so this tree was desirous. There was something about this tree, and I'll tell you what it was. She looked at this tree and said, we can have everything else, but we can't have this one. God's holding out on us. This is the one that will truly make us happy. We can have all this other stuff, and you know what? If I don't have that, I don't have nothing. You ever found yourself in that? God has blessed you. God has been with you. You got a car that you turn the key and it starts. But you know what? If you don't have a Mercedes, oh, your life is so hard. I had sirloin. I didn't have New York strip. It's so unfair. Shut up. Come on.
She thought God was holding out on her. And the thing is this, even though she had all this other stuff that blessed she and Adam, they didn't have any needs in their life. It was a perfect situation, a perfect scenario. She saw one tree she didn't have, and she said this, I gotta have it. That is greed. Always looking at what you don't have rather than being thankful for what we do. You see, she thought God was holding out on her. Now, here's the thing. Why would God hold out on us? Why would God create this perfect environment with trees that were pleasant to the eye and good for food and create this whole situation, this whole thing, and then hold out on us? Well, it's what we think, though, isn't it? Well, if I do this, then I'm not going to have something. Well, God says, listen, I'm the giver of all good things. What kind of God would say to us, you can have all of this, but not that, because that is mine? Now, I said earlier we were going to talk about what? We're going to talk about tithing. We're going to talk about giving. And we're going to get into this a little. Listen to me. If you close every door in your life to the enemy and don't tithe, you have left the door open. All right, can you understand that? Grasp it. And I'm going to show you this in the Word. Do you know what Adam and Eve's first open sin was? They took what belonged to God. God said, you can have anything you want. A whole garden. Animals, trees, food, water, fish. I've created this perfect scenario for you. It is all yours. It's just this tree. This one's mine. Leave it alone. And they took what belonged to God. Now, why would God do that? Well, I'll tell you why. He does it according to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and other scriptures where he says this. He tests you so that he can bless you. Okay? Y'all with me? God blesses us when we believe. God blesses us when we live by faith. When God tells us to do something and we do it, we are blessed. The word tithe, if you're new to this concept, means one-tenth. And the number 10, all through Scripture, represents a test. Our tithe is always a test. And walk with it. I'm going to ask you the question and you answer it. How many plagues were there? All right, y'all got to say that was terrible. All right, how many plagues were there? How many times did God test Pharaoh's heart? How many Ten Commandments are there? How many times did God test Israel when they wandered in the wilderness? All right, it's a pretty obvious answer now. All right, I got more questions. The answer is going to be, it's still 10. All right, so let's go. How many times was Jacob's wages changed? How many days was Daniel tested? How many virgins were tested in Matthew 25? How many days of testing are missing in Revelations? How many disciples are there? All right. Just making sure you're with me there. It's 12 disciples. 12 disciples. Listen, 10 represents a test throughout the Word of God. And so when God says, I want a tenth, the thing you have to understand, all God is simply doing is testing us so that he can bless us. You can have all the garden except this tree. It was a test. That if you are obedient and you move in my word and you stay with me and stay in my word, you'll be blessed by God. But if you take what doesn't belong to you, it will impact your life in a way that I don't desire for you, but you choose. Okay? Every 2 weeks or however often you get paid, it's a test. Who are you going to bless? Who are you going to honor? Will you trust that 90% blessed will go further than 100% not blessed? This is the test we have to function. This is a test. Are you going to live your life by faith or by what the world tells you and what the enemy wants you to believe? Because here's what God says. Listen, there are two trees. There's a tree of life, which is good and life, and there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it's a tree of death. And God says, this tree isn't good for you. The enemy in the world says, this tree is what you want. Who are you going to believe? And the truth is, it didn't just stay with Adam and Eve, but it went to their children as well. Abel and Cain and Abel, and Cain did the same thing. God represented the tithe through the principle of firstborn and of first fruits. And in Exodus 13, 1 and 2, it says this, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast,
It is what?
It's mine. God says, that belongs to me. Return it to me because it belongs to me. Exodus 23:19. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a younger goat in its mother's milk. Listen to me. And you know, I love missions. But you do not send your tithe to a missionary. You do not send your tithe to a TV evangelist. You do not send your tithe anywhere other than to your church, your house, the house of God that you are being fed by. That's what we're to do with the tithe that we're to bring to the storehouse. And when you talk about the word tithe, it uses the word bring through Scripture, rarely ever, if never, the word give. Because you can't give something that's not yours. It's, whose is it? It's God's. So I can't give God the tithe. It's already his. I can bring it to him. And it's important to understand the word and the usage. You can only bring it to him. So according to Scripture, there's two things that you can do with your tithe. You can bring it to God's house. Who wants to guess? Or we steal it. That's what it says in Malachi. We don't give the tithe. We simply return it. That's why it's wrong to say, here's my tithe, and I want to designate $10 here and $10 there and $15 there. And, you know, if it's, you know, Ted Sloper's, it's you know, $500 here, $500 there. He's loaded. I'm just messing with you, Ted. I'm just messing with you, Ted. Here's let me see if this will make a better picture for you. A week or two ago, I went to Haiti for 3 days. Pastor Chris gave me a ride to the airport. It was very gracious, very kind, very wonderful. And what if, on the way to the airport, where we're driving, my 4Runner, and he says, "Hey, Pastor Wes, I have a favor to ask." And I said, "Sure, what?" And he goes, "My truck is broken down." This isn't what happened, just an illustration. My truck is broken down, and so would it be okay if while you're in Haiti, and my truck is in the garage getting fixed, that I could drive your 4Runner. And then when you come home, my truck will be repaired by then. And I said, "Sure, that's not a problem." You know? And so I go to Haiti and I spend my time there and I come home and Pastor Chris picks me up at the airport and he and Megan are there. And, you know, I'm like, "Hey, thanks for getting me. It's so wonderful." And we go back to my house and they get out and they go, "Pastor, we've been praying. And we really feel we've heard from the Lord on this. We really feel like God wants us to give you this 4Runner. And here are the keys." What? Isn't that ridiculous? Because they can't give it to me. It's mine. Well, what do you mean you're going to give me my vehicle? Just because you've been using it doesn't make it yours. It was mine on the way to the airport. It's mine on the way back from the airport. Even when you were driving it, mine. But listen, but when it comes to our tithe, the same principle applies. We receive the blessing of God, and God says, "Listen, you don't act like you're all awesome because you're giving back to me what's mine. It's mine. I gave it to you to use for a season, and you return it to me. You bring it to me. You don't give it to me. It's not yours. You can't give it. You just simply bring it back to me. You're returning it." You see, the firstborn and the firstfruits are to return to God. So let's look what happened with Cain and Abel. This is right after the parents took what belonged to God. You go to Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 4, 3 through 7. And in the process of time, it came that Cain, and listen to the wording, Cain brought an offering. You see anything in there about first fruits, first harvest, first anything? Nothing. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And it just says offering, not first fruits offering. Abel, listen to the wording here, also brought of the firstborn of his flock, the firsts. And Abel and his offering, but he did not, the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was angry and his countenance fell. And listen to me, this is where God just kind of comes and says, "Cain, why are you so angry? Bro, you know the truth. You know how this works.
You know how this is supposed to be. Why has your countenance fallen? We've been talking about open doors. This is what God said. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, listen, sin lies at the door and its desire for you that you should rule over it. Cain, listen, when you don't handle life the way I have designed you to handle life, you need to know there's an enemy outside the door waiting for you to leave the door cracked. And when he can get in, he's going to get in. That's what he's saying. The word desire here is to rule. Satan wants to rule over you, and he's right at the door. And often the first sin that we do is we take what belongs to God. We see something we want. I want a bigger house. I want a nicer car. I want a better barbecue. I need a new outfit. I want new shoes. I need a new purse. I need a new suit. I know times are tight. And I'm thinking, you know what? But you know what? I got an interview next week, and I don't want to wear the same old suit. I'm going to go get a new one. And so I'm going to take from God, and I'm going to get this thing that I want because I think it's going to help me and move me forward. And listen, we always move forward in Christ. We take what belongs to God, and we go get it. Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether it's of seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and it is holy to the Lord. All of it is God's. Can you look at your neighbor and say, all of it is God's? Greed is the first open door of the lust of the eye. Number two is this, unbelief. Unbelief. Why would a person not tithe when Scripture is so clear about tithing and that we should tithe? Because you cannot read this word and walk away from it and say tithing's unscriptural. You can't. And so it has to be unbelief. I see it, I read it, but you know what? It's not really for today, and I don't really believe that it's for today. That has to be where we go. And usually it's because we don't believe that it's for today. Now, I don't think, let me be very clear about this. I don't think that people who don't tithe are bad people. I've known people who love Jesus, who have been in church years, long time, been around the things of God, grown up in the things of God, who for whatever reason choose not to give or don't give. They just simply don't believe that it's for today. I don't think you're a horrible person. I don't think you're an evil person. I don't think that you're any different than me, other than some of the little things that we're doing. But we sometimes think someone who's done time must be, you know, worshiping the devil. Yeah, no, not always true. Not always. I did not say that. Here's the thing. I want to show you that this principle goes all the way through Scripture, and understand that it was way before the law was established, because we just talked about it in the Garden of Eden. God said, everything is yours but this one tree, and Adam and Eve took what belonged to God. That was God's. What is our tithe? God's. When we fail to give it, we're taking from him, correct? One, two. All right, cool deal. Here we go. I've heard people say that the word tithe doesn't appear in the New Testament. 2 to 5 times, depending on the translation, the word tithe appears in the New Testament. All right, steal is only mentioned 8 times in the New Testament. So is it okay to steal because it's not mentioned that much? I'm just asking. Adultery is mentioned 20 times, but 5 times are a repeat. So only 15 times in the New Testament, adultery is mentioned. So is it okay to, don't go there? You see, we would say that's silly. Pastor Wentz, that's crazy. And of course it's not. Even if it's mentioned one time, you don't do something like that because God's word's so clear about it. Well, God's word's pretty clear about tithe as well. Virgin birth is only mentioned 2 times in Scripture. Yet do we believe that Christ was born of a Virgin Mary? So tithe is mentioned 3 times as much. Do we believe that it's right to tithe? See, the real issue is that there's this unbelief that Satan has put into our hearts. And remember, I said that the first goes to God. Even when God said, Israel, it's time to cross over and enter into the promised land, and I'm going to give you the victories, and I'm going to give you everything. And Joshua led the people, and they marched around the city of Jericho, and they shouted, and they blew trumpets, and the walls came down. Do you know what God had told them? Everything, silver, gold, precious items are to be brought to the house of God. Do you know why? Because Jericho was the first victory in the promised land.
And God said, all firsts come to me. You bless me with the first one, and I bless the rest of them. That's what his word says. That's what it says, Joshua 6:19. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron are consecrated to the Lord. They come into the treasury of the Lord. Joshua 7:11-12. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Even though God said, bring me the first fruits of the promised land, Israel didn't listen, and some of them stole it. Some of them took it. The sin of Achan, y'all can read about that, hidden under his tent. And was his family blessed because of it? How can you steal? And think about this. Israel went into the promised land. They conquered Jericho, and when you conquered it, it's yours. And yet God says they stole. How can they say they stole it? Because it belonged to God. Because God said, all firsts are mine. And so they stole it from him. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither you or I will be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Listen, I want to bless them, but they took what was mine. That's what God's saying. How many know God wants to bless you? You understand that you are most like God when you give, and you are most like the enemy when you take? I read this week. God starts with a G, well, so does give. Satan starts with an S, so does steal. See, God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Malachi 3:7-12, I love this. This was such an eye-opening thing. I've read this portion of Scripture 100 times. I've never seen this before. Starting at verse 7, he says, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from me, from my ordinances. I love that. And have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in which way shall we return? Now, ordinance means ordinary principle. That's what that's saying. My ordinances. These are things that are just common set. They are just everyone who was a child of God or part of it. This is a common thing you need to understand. It was just every way so you just know it. What was this common, you know, ordinance? That God's people would return their tithe to him. It was an ordinary principle. All right, look at the way God responds to them. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. That word robbed, very, very important. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now try me in this, the Lord says. Test me. That's what God is saying. Nowhere really in Scripture do you ever find God saying, try this out. Test me in this. Honor me in this way, and I will honor you in this way. But that's what he says. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. And if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. And listen to what he promises. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, for he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now listen, the Lord used the word robbed here. How many know there's a difference between the word robbed and theft? When you look up the definitions, theft is going in and taking something from someone who's not at home. But robbed is taking something from someone who is home, who is present. God says, Israel, you stole from me in my presence. You robbed me. He is in the house, and we come to the house, and he is here. And when we fail to return to him what is his, he calls that robbery. God wants to bless you. God wants to rebuke the devourer for your sake. But we have to be obedient to release those things to be. Now, I'm not saying when you start tithing, everything's just going to be roses and you can just tiptoe through life. Life happens. Life is real. Sometimes life is challenging. But I'm telling you what, I would rather walk through a challenge in obedience with God than I would try to tiptoe around something of my own strength and my own blessing. Satan tries to get us to not believe that God's word is for today, all right? The last door open for the lust of the eyes is simply this, fear. We talked about it last week in the fear of man, but the fear of our futures. Luke 22, 3 through 5. And Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12, and he went his way, conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And listen, they were glad and agreed to give him money. Now, who did he talk to? The chief priests and the captains. They gave him money. Where did they get the money from? Oh, they didn't steal it. They took it from the treasury. You know what the treasury was? People's tithe. They bought Jesus with tithe money. It's amazing. It's amazing. And the thing is, there was an open door in Judas's life that the enemy entered in, and I think it was fear. John 12, 1 through 6. And in the 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, and they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Now, some say the house being filled with the fragrance of oil was a picture of God's people bringing to God what God deserved, what God had asked for, moving in obedience, and the smell of the ointment was symbolic of the presence of God spreading. And the picture is this: when a church does what God desires them to do, his presence will come and it will be noticed. Don't you want to see healings? Don't you want to see breakthroughs? Don't you want to see the lost come to know him? People you've been praying for get saved. You've tried witnessing. You know, birthdays. What do you get? Bible. You know what I mean? He says you've done everything you can to get God into these folks, and there's nothing you seem to be able to do to get it. But the presence of God can get into anybody in obedience. One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for the 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And that's a year's salary. This, he said, is not that he cared for the poor, but because he was what? A thief. What is the enemy? A thief. He had put the money box, or he had the money box, and he used it. Used to take what was put in it. All right, Judas was a thief, and the enemy entered a thief. Now, I want to ask you something. I don't think anyone here would ever, and I want to be very straightforward when I say it, would ever do this. But when we receive our tithes and offering and the plate comes by, I don't think anybody would see this thing and think, you know what? I'd really like to take my family to lunch after service today, and I'm just going to take about $50. Kind of do one of these. What's that on the ceiling? Put it in their pocket. And then pass on the, that'd be horrible. Yes? All right, because you made me a little nervous there. I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? All right, ushers, we're going to rethink our giving. Yeah, we would never consider doing something like that. We would think, how horrible would that be? I would feel horrible if the plate came by and I'm like, watch this. You know, put it in my pocket. Is it any less different when the plate comes by and you don't put in what belongs to God? Is it any different? God says, it's mine. Well, Lord, I'll give it. You can't give it. It doesn't belong to you. You can return it. You can bring it. But when you keep what's mine, you rob me. You see, Judas became a thief and gave Satan an open door to enter into him. And I think Judas sold Jesus out because he realized that things weren't going to go the way he planned for him. He kind of thought Jesus has got all this momentum. He's healing people. We're seeing miracles. There's something special about this guy. The people are rallying. You know what? We're going to establish a kingdom. We're going to overthrow the Romans, and we're going to be in a place of authority and power and all of these things. This is going to be fantastic. And all of a sudden, Judas begins to realize, hey, Jesus, you know, he said, I'm going to die. And we know when really took him serious, but as we get closer to this thing, I really think he's going to do this, and we're going to have nothing, and you know what? I got to start thinking about my future. He was afraid of what the future held, and you know what? And there's a lot of people that probably are in this room today who don't tithe because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Pastor, you don't understand. I have just enough to get by. And if I get laid off, or if I lose my job, or if I get sick, or we have a car wreck, or we need tires, or kids need brakes, you don't understand. We'll be in trouble. That's fear.
Matthew 26:15, and he said, "Are you willing to give me, or what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And then they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. Again, it came from the treasury. They bought Jesus with tithe money. Matthew 27:3-6, then Jesus, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury," put them back into the tithe money, because these are the price of blood. Do you know where they got the 30 pieces of silver was from the treasury? Do you know what makes it unique? Because 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver is the price of bondage. Now, we would never do that. We would never take our tithe money, betray Jesus, but would you ever betray him for 10%? Exodus 21:32, if an ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. 30 pieces of silver was the price of the slave, and they betrayed Jesus with a tithe, and it was the price of bondage. When we don't return to God what belongs to God, we become enslaved to it. We become in bondage to it. And Jesus came to set us what? Free. We have to close the door to the enemy in our lives in the area of our giving. And we have to trust Jesus each and every day. Because if you don't know me, you might be thinking, "You know what, Pastor, you're just trying to push for a bigger offering." But those of you that know me know that's not the case. This isn't about offerings. This is about blessings. And the truth is, I love you guys. And the truth is, I want to see you blessed. And I want to hear testimonies of raises and promotions. I want to hear testimonies of jobs that came along that you weren't even necessarily looking for. I was just going to work and doing my thing. And all of a sudden, this job opportunity came by. And I just said, "Hey, yeah, I'd be interested in that." And I don't know why they chose me, Pastor, but they chose me. I'm going to tell you why they chose you. Because the anointing of God is on the lives of those who obey him. That is why. People owed me money. I never thought I'd ever see it again. Check came in from people I didn't even know owed me money. And I said, I wonder what, I'm going to go cash it. You know, I mean, I just, but here's the whole thing. Yeah, they're going to give it to you. You take it. Praise the Lord. I had somebody say, "Well, Pastor, would you take money if someone won the lottery and gave it?" I said, yes. Listen, I want us to receive everything that God intends for us to receive. I want your lives to be blessed. I want your homes to be blessed. I want your stuff to be sustained, almost like when God told Israel, in the wilderness, your shoes aren't going to wear out and your clothes aren't going to wear out. I want that kind of favor on my life. And I can tell you it happens in obedience, not just to parts, but to all of it. You see, I don't want anyone to have the devourer come. I have seen people step out in faith. I have seen people step out and say, "I'm going to trust God and I'm going to begin to trust God." I have seen the faithfulness of God in my life and in the lives of others. God is true and God is who he says he is. So don't leave that first door open in your life. Let's close that door today. It has kept people from receiving the full blessing and the full breakthrough in their lives. But we close that door, and all of a sudden, you know what we do? We become a little more like him. We get a little closer to the breakthrough place. We get a little closer to where God desires us to be to receive the fullness that God has for us. And I say there's no better day than today. Amen? Can I get you to bow your heads this morning and close your eyes? Listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today through this message? I realize this is a different kind of topic. I realize this isn't a feel-good thing. This isn't a, let's just throw grace on everything and just run forward. And I know that sometimes we have to stop. We have to say, listen, am I honoring God with my life? Am I handling my finances the way I should be? Am I doing the right things? Because when you go back to the very beginning, that's what Adam and Eve opened the door to. They took what belonged to God. And if you hear my heart, hear, give to God what is his. It's his. Bring it to him. Don't try to hold it. And I know everything in our flesh wars that statement. I understand it because it doesn't make sense that 90% will lead me further and get me further than 100%. But I'm telling you, in God's economy, that's the way that it works. God says, a tenth is mine. You'll either bring it to me or you'll rob it of me. And when you bring it to me, I can bless the 90 and it will go further than the 100 would ever unblessed. Do you battle with fear when it comes to this door in your life? Do you battle with fear saying, I don't know what tomorrow holds and I don't know what's going to happen a month from now? You know what? None of us do. I could lose my job, true. You could win the lottery. But I don't play. That's why it would be a miracle. Listen, my future doesn't change who God is. God says, I've blessed you all of it. A tenth is mine. Return it to me. Bring it back to me. Are you afraid that you're not going to have enough? Is it unbelief today? Has the enemy talked you into believing that this isn't New Testament and this isn't for today? And you know, there's no difference between the church and the Red Cross and other, you know, nonprofit organizations that do good around the world. Listen, that is a lie from the pit of hell. The church is different. Return what is God's to God, because it all comes down to this being a test for us. God tests us so that he can bless us. Is it greed? Do I not give because I think I want other things more? And if I give the 10% to God, then you know what? I'm not going to be able to go out and purchase this or that and these other things. And God says, yeah, but will you trust me and let me bless your life? Because I know what you need. Remember earlier, he's the good parent. He knows what we need more so than what we want. I just know that better things flow out of blessings from him and not us robbing God. So here's my challenge. God said, test me. Go home. Go online. And pay your tithe this week. If you didn't drop it in, go home, online, pay your tithe this week. Next time you get your paycheck, whether it's this week or 2 weeks or whenever it is, understand that it comes in, it is a test. Honor God with it. I've heard people say, you know what, if you really want to get right with God, then you need to go back, and if you haven't been tithing all year, you need to give a whole year. Listen, let's not be crazy. I don't know of any sin you can recompense. So let's not do that here. Let's just repent. God, I haven't been trusting you. God, I haven't believed. God, I've been afraid. But God, starting today, I'm going to give or bring to you what's yours. I'm going to return it because I want your favor on my life. I want your hand on my life. And I know in the world's eyes, it looks like by giving away, I'm not going to have as much. But God, your presence with me is more than this world could ever give me. So let your favor be on me. And let your favor be on my home and my family and the cars we have and the clothes we wear and our children and our houses and all of our things. We want the blessings of God on our hearts. So you can't go back. Let's just repent and begin to do right today and close this door in our life right now. I'm going to give what's God's to God. And I'm not going to take it anymore.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0339.